When we have that moment in our lives, when we come before God and we invite Jesus, the Savior, into our hearts as our Savior and Lord, some marvelous things happen. All of our sins are paid for because of God's love on that cross. The substitutionary sacrifice of His Son Jesus on the cross for our sins. We also are completely forgiven of all of our sins. We are washed, we are cleansed from all of our sins. We are born anew as God's children, and God becomes our now and forever Heavenly Father. And with our inward hearts now being cleansed, the Holy Spirit of the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, the Holy Spirit of God, enters to dwell within us. If that has happened in your life, I just want you to say out loud, I've got the Spirit. Say it. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is within us to comfort us, to challenge us, to convict us, to dwell in us, to guide us, to teach us, and to never leave us or forsake us. Wonderful things. But to borrow a line from the TV advertisements, but wait, there's more. As wonderful as all those inward blessings are when we receive the Holy Spirit of God within us, the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us also brings so much more into this new relationship with God. When the Holy Spirit of God enters into our lives, He brings and releases within each one of us special spiritual gifts. Paul speaks of those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 1 he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." The Greek word for uninformed is, I don't want you to be agnostic. I don't want you to be an agnostic about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to wonder or be unclear about God and how He's gifted you. When you come to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit of God within you, and He also brings into your life special gifts that are to be used outwardly as a vital part of serving His body, His church, and as a part of serving outwardly in the world with God's love and care. And every one of us who have received that Holy Spirit of God are gifted with those gifts. Please say out loud, I'm gifted. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm gifted. And they'll agree. In verses 2 to 3, Paul kind of reminds them with the Corinthian believers that in their old life, they kind of followed different kinds of empty gods, and it was all about selfishness and about themselves. And he focuses them on, as he goes into verse 4, to focus on their new Holy Spirit-filled life and how that fits within the body of Christ. He wants them to see that. He says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, somebody might say to you, I'm a charismatic. Every believer who invites Jesus into your heart receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the charisma, the Holy Spirit of God. We're all charismatics. Say it out loud, I'm a charismatic. You have those Holy Spirit gifts. You have the Holy Spirit. We are charismatic. These are gifts, special gifts that God has put into us. They are not our own natural abilities. They are not our own self-developed gifts. They are grace gifts. God has graced you with them. God has uniquely gifted each one of us. God has uniquely gifted you. But you notice how clear He is in this. Now, the varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And 5, there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. The varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in every one. And as you heard, as you read through the list, it was the same God, the same Lord, the same God, the same Lord, the same unifying God who gives all of these to all Christ ones in unity. Isn't it special to realize that God Himself, who knows you and me inside and out, has specially chosen spiritual gifts that are special for you or for me? What a beautiful realization that God, who knows you, gifted you, and these gifts that each Christian is gifted with all come from the same source. Say, same source. Same source. And notice all these gifts have the same purpose. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 7. Every time you use your gift that God has gifted you with, you are releasing the Holy Spirit's work in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to work through you and in you. The Holy Spirit of God wants to bring things through your life and to use your life to glorify Him and to touch the lives of people in His name. Each Christian is graced, gifted with gifts that display the Holy Spirit's power of God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And every time you exercise those gifts, you show that Holy Spirit. But don't forget the end, what it says in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The purpose and goal in each of every gift of the Holy Spirit is to be the unity with all other gifts of the Holy Spirit with the purpose of the common good for the entire body of Christ. We are all too sadly aware of persons that at times will lift up certain gifts that they may say or claim that they have and say they are greater than another gift or another person's gift, and it's not been for the common good, but it's caused division in the body of Christ and caused pain and separation between fellow believers. And Paul repeatedly insists that such competition with gifts is not correct, and the love of the body should overcome any such thoughts. We are gifted for the common good. The word that's used here in Greek for the common good is symphony, from which we get the word symphony. One of our unique gifts as a church is the vast variety of musical expressions that we have been blessed with here. Choirs and praise team and bells and instruments and music groups. But they and we all know that if any choir member or praise team member or instrumentalist or part of a music group goes rogue and begins doing their own thing, is what it sounds like. The result is a lot of sour-sounding, unmatching, unorganized, ear-hurting noise. And I've been in churches that people are so fighting and bickering among themselves, it looked just like that. But when each of the Christ ones in their church add their part in symphony with the others as part of the unified common good of all, the music is beautiful. We do have those that have been led and gifted to share in worshiping God and leading us in worshiping God in music. And please join me in praising God for those that help us in that music area here in the church. Not just in music, but in any of our gifts. There, every Christian here is to bring our part, that gift that we have, with such a focus on unity, and it comes forth and it is witnessed as a majestic symphony of praise and service to Almighty God. We're to make music together that God enjoys and takes delight in and blesses Him. And the point of us being here today, of you being here today, It's not that you'll be overly blessed by being here, but I hope you are. Or that you're open to worshiping through every expression of music, but I hope that you are. The point is, how do I blend, unite my gifts that God has given to us to serve Christ and His church and a world in such need of God's love and care? Let me give you a warning. If we who have all been graced with gifts by God, and yet we choose to not use those gifts for the glory of God or not take the time for the common good of His church, then we are keeping God's purpose in your life and His church from being all that God desires it to be. Let me say that again. If we who have been all graced with gifts by God and yet choose to not use these gifts for the glory of God and for the common good of His church, we are keeping God's purpose in your life and His church from being all that God desires it to be. If that statement makes you feel uncomfortable, good. God has gifted you for the common good of His church and for the reaching of a hurting world with God's love and care. If you're holding back your gifts for the common good of His church and the world, then you are holding back God's church. We are here to work together to create a symphony. And we at Pathways Baptist Church have an exciting symphony of diversity. It is my hope, my prayer, that the symphony we have will be a one united together in honor and in blessing to the Lord. We have at least 24 different countries celebrated right here at Pathways Baptist Church. What a symphony we have! All coming together to bless God and serve in and outside of this church. He gives some gifts as he goes in the 1 Corinthians passages, but this isn't an exhaustive list. You can find it also in Romans 12. In different parts of 1 Corinthians 12. Let me share some of the spiritual gifts that we have identified. Proclaiming, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, prayer, discernment, helping, administration. God's word makes it clear that everyone in the body of Christ has been given at least one of these gifts. And if you know what God's spiritual giftedness in you is, that does not, though, mean that you only serve when that gift is to be performed. You can't say, "Well, I'm not in a teaching moment right now, so I'm not going to help you lift that chair." Your special giftedness must be understood as your primary wiring, hard wiring that God has given you. But all of us are to serve the body of Christ in whatever way we can. And note that nowhere in this passage does Paul distinguish men from women. In Galatians 3:26 to 27, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." God has given every believer a combination of opportunities and gifts, and every Christian is really has a ministry gift to bring together into the body. And God's ministry and mission needs both gifted men and women of God serving side by side. And I'm thankful for the men and women we have here that serve so strongly and faithfully. He adds in verse 11, "And these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses." Activated by one and the same Spirit. I want you to realize how special your gift is. How your individuality and how God has matched that Holy Spirit gift for you in that. He has activated you in His Spirit, and He is the one who allots individually, each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses in your life. You do not choose your gifts. The Holy Spirit within you chooses your special gifts individually and then activates them in your life. Please say, Spirit gifted. You are Spirit gifted. And then Paul writes a somewhat amusing comparison of the human body with his body, the church. In verse 12, he says, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So from head to toe, the human body has many members. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, fingers, hands, arms, shoulders, toes, feet, legs. Actually, inside and out, there are over 7,500 defined parts of the body. And we have all experienced that if just one body part is weakened or lost, it affects the whole body. The point is, every part of the human body is important for healthy and functioning. Have you ever had your foot go to sleep? Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? How about a Charlie horse? Don't like that Charlie guy. You ever have trouble seeing or hearing? It affects the whole body's function, doesn't it? And Paul continues to make his point with his amusing word pictures in 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, all spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit are equally important. Various gifts may be more or less visible, but it does not make them any greater or lesser than the others. He adds in 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? You hear the humor in this. If the whole body were one big eyeball, well, how would it hear? The eyes are important. With their only body part, you wouldn't be able to hear. And he goes on, if the whole body was just one big ear. Again, ears are important. With the only body part, you wouldn't be able to smell. And he goes on and on and on. No one should claim that their spiritual gift in the body is of greater or lesser importance. Every spiritual gifted part of the body is important and needed. And he adds in 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. Before anyone begins to claim their spiritual gifting is greater or lesser in the body of Christ, remember, it is God who has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he has chosen. You know, every Sunday, someone is up here preaching, teaching the Word of God. It may be me or Pastor Paul or Eddie or another, a pastor or a missionary. But I just want you to look around you right now. Look around at the gifted people all around you. People on sound. People doing the video. At the front have been the choir and the members, the praise band, the leaders and the members. Soloists and bells and organists and pianists and instrumentalists and greeters and ushers and those who print the materials and run the office and the coffee and refreshments and the welcome desk and the lighting and the air conditioning. Praise God for air conditioning, amen? And the cleaning and the decorating and the internet access that we have to use. A group of scientists were touring NASA. One of them at the end of the line saw a custodian mopping a floor. He kind of mockingly said, so what do you do here at NASA? He said, I explore the universe. He said, what? He said, unless it's scrubbed clean, it gets scrubbed. He understood it. All gifts being exercised so they can come and worship and grow. All gifts, none greater and lesser than the others. Instead, each one of ultimate importance to the health of Christ's body and its ministry and mission. All gifts to surround and support all of us in God's work so we can give our gift into it as a symphony to God. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells in every believer and every one of us does not dwell within just you for your personal reward or your personal benefit and blessing. But the Holy Spirit of God has a special purpose for each and every believer to be connected, to be serving outwardly in his body, in his church, and outwardly in a world that needs God and his love. And any idea that Jesus and I have some special thing going on and I don't need to be outwardly focused on the church and world is not taught anywhere in the Word of God. A person who claims to love Jesus, yet doesn't love his people and church and the world that he so loved that he gave his only son for, is a person who has an unbiblical theology. If you love Jesus, you will also develop an outward focus to serve in his love, in his body, and the world that God so loved that he wants us to reach with the good news of his love and care. After all, God has put you together and gifted you in such special ways that no one else can serve with your gifts as you can. If you don't serve with your gift, think about it. You are disregarding and disrespecting what God wants to do in and through your life. If you don't serve with your gifts, think about how you are not making his church its best inside or outside to reach lives. God chose all of us to serve and bless him and others with our lives. Well, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, let me make a few suggestions. First, pray and seek. Read the worship guide. Read the newsletter. Watch as you look around you in the church, in the foyer, or out here, the gathering area or wherever you are. Listen as you hear people express needs. I may have told you before about in my first church, there was a family with the last name of Folk, F-O-C-H-T. And they were at everything. They served tirelessly. Those doors were open, they were there. And I said to Wayne Folk, the patriarch of the family, I said, Wayne, I just want you to know I appreciate your family so much. I said, a pastor would love to have this kind of a nugget. What is the nugget? What is the thing that makes you want to come and serve everywhere all the time? He just smiled. He said, well, pastor, you stand up on Sunday mornings, you say, we need a few folks to help us with this. So we hear our name, so we figure we better come. Now look around, read, listen, watch, note the things that energize you out of those things you're hearing and seeing, and your spiritual gifts will cause you to be drawn in certain directions, even if you don't know it yet. If there's a problem, people with a spiritual gift of serving will immediately want to go and care for that. If you have you hear a prayer concern, well, I have a gift of praying for that. I see something is in need of leadership, and I have a gift in leadership to do that. All around you are areas of ministry that need dedicated servants of Jesus Christ that you've been gifted with. Even if it's not in your specific gifted area, it still needs done. And while you're serving in an area that may not be your spiritual gift, God can use that to lead you into understanding where it is. Part of learning where your giftedness is sometimes learns through the pain of learning where your gifts are not. I remember hearing the preacher Chuck Swindoll say in the pulpit one time, speaking on giftedness, he said, you know, we have a beautiful choir and praise team. If you have the gift of voice to lead and bring worship to God through voice and music, please join the choir. Join the praise team. If you don't have that gift, please don't. You're always welcome. So pray and seek, read, watch, listen. Secondly, just start doing something. In the fall, we're going to have a more extensive opportunity for you to discover your spiritual gifts so they can be applied to the ministry of the church. But today, just start doing something. In the gathering area, you're going to see a sheet that we put out there that is a listing of all the different ministries going on right now. If you haven't filled one of those out, grab one out there, fill it out, bring it back so we can plug you in where you can be. And right now, I just want you to take out a visitor card. You see the little connection card? I want you to take one of those out. This coming Saturday, our mission team is going to prepare boxed lunches for homeless people in our area. They need people to come help them prepare the boxes, and if you can, to go with them to hand these out to people in need. If you are willing to be a part of that, this Saturday from 9 to noon, you don't have to stay the whole time, at least come as long as you can. If you're willing to do that, put your name on that, put down box lunch, 9 to 12, say 9 to 12, Saturday. I'm sorry? Say 10 to 12 then. Okay, my fault. Say 10 to 12. If you come at 9, you can blame it on me. But 10 to 12 on Saturday. If you'd like to be a part of that, bring that and just take that to the desk out there and put it there, and we'll make sure that we count on you being there to help out. Another one, as Pastor Lonnie said, is coming up as our block party. This is not a time just for us to come and have some fun. This is a time for us to serve. It's our first big block party for us to invite the community onto this campus to see that we don't have green eyes and horns, that we are sweet people that love Jesus and love people. We want to invite them on and see and feel and experience the love of Christ in this place. We're here to serve them. It's our first one, and we hope it's going to be big. We're expecting between 350 or 400 people, visitors, which means we need a lot of you to serve. So you see the yellow sheet there? You fill that out, the insert. And please, for one half an hour after church, from 12 to 12:30, if you could stay, we're going to break up into the different areas of that we're going to be emphasizing for that day. If you can stay just for a half an hour, even if it takes that long, we just want to talk about a few things that are going to happen. You do realize it's about a month away, only weeks away. And we want to make sure people have been working very hard to be organized for that. So the block party. It takes a lot of people to do these things. I want you to know that we had 61 children in Vacation Bible School this year. All God's people say, amen, 61 children. We know of one that was able to be prayed with to invite Christ into his heart for the first time. I think he's going to be going to youth children's camp too, isn't he? Yeah. So God's just taking hold of his heart. But we have no idea out of those other ones how many have been touched by Christ. What part of their planting and harvesting process of God working their lives there was a part of. But I'll tell you this, for 61 kids, guess how many people served for Vacation Bible School? 85. All God's people say, amen. And let me ask you something. Those of you that served at Vacation Bible School, those of us that prayed for the Vacation Bible School, those of us who were really cool, we had Vacation Bible School. You think it was all worth it for that, even that one child to come to eternal salvation? Amen. And we have no idea what other effects it has. We will only know in heaven sometimes what will happen. So just do something. Third, there are times when you can't serve. Sounds weird to have a pastor mention that, doesn't it? But again, to use Paul's comparison of the church body to the human body, there are times when the human body is not able to function properly. It may be an injured part of your body or a broken part of the body, or physical limitations or commitments that are keeping you away. And unless those are excuses, if there are truly things in your life, those are totally understood. There are times when you cannot function like you would want to in the church body. There are times when you just can't be there and do what you would like to do. And in that situation, one of your best gifts, no, the best gift that you can do in serving this body, Christ's body, is pray. I remember a pastor of a megachurch, we asked him at an interview one time, we said, who's the most important person in your church? He said, oh my, that's very difficult. I have a lot of very faithful people. He said, oh, that's right, there's one. So who is it? He said, her name is Flora. Flora sits in the back pew, and when I start to preach, she starts to pray. She told me she will always do that. You don't know how we pastors and staff treasure when we know that you are praying for us as staff, praying for all of us as leaders, praying for this body and church. And another part of it can be, how about encouragement? Praying and encouragement. I mean, even if it's not your gift, there is a gift of encouragement. maybe to go up to somebody, a teacher, a helper, somebody that's serving so faithfully, somebody in the worship area, and just encourage them. That means to kind of build into them some strength and encouragement, to bring courage back, strength back into by speaking into them something positive about their lives. Don't we all love to have encouragement? Who doesn't like to hear encouragement? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. I think the point's taken. That encouragement, that prayer, and it could be a phone call, it could be a note, it could be anything. When you can't serve, you can still serve. It says in James 5:16, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, so pray. Also, I just want to share that we need to be doing selfless serving. Don't worry about your needs being met. It's not about you, it's not about me. Let me tell you how God works. It's kind of cool this way. If you will take your spiritual gifts and you'll start serving with those gifts, not thinking of yourself, but thinking of others, thinking of Christ, what he did for you, thinking of all the people that are in need here and outside of these doors, if you'll start just giving your gifts and picking up and just doing what needs done here, there, and everywhere, and with your gift really doing a lot of work in your spiritual gifted area, if you'll start doing that, guess what? We have a God who knows us, knows you, knows your needs. And at the same time, you're pouring yourself and serving others. God is putting onto Jason's heart what my needs are. And he's gifting him to help meet my needs. You see the cycle? Don't do it for yourself. Do it to serve Christ. And the God who knows you and your needs will be bringing people around to help meet your needs as well. Don't worry about yourself. Just give yourself in serving others. It's not about serving yourself or being self-serving. It's not about being selfish. Don't you love that when you separate that word? Not to be selfish. It's not about seeking to be served. It's all about being an active part of the body of Christ. It's all about focusing on serving outward to Christ's body and his church and to a world in such need of the love and the care of Christ. It's time to stop nitpicking about things and people around and realize we need to grow up and realize that the Holy Spirit of God has called and gifted you and me to a high purpose as be a part of his church here and outside. Tony Evans, a gifted preacher, said this: "It is a sin to say, preach to me, sing to me, keep the church warm or cool for me, visit when I am sick, bury me when I am dead, but I don't want to sign up for anything, I don't want to commit to anything, I won't do anything, I'll just be here." Thank you, Tony. I can't imagine Jesus saying to one of his disciples, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast listened to 2,641 sermons and almost twice the number of choir anthems. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." No, I don't think that's what happens. It's "well done, good and faithful servant." There are some historic sayings. One is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work and the rest do nothing. That's not in God's church. I put it this way: blessed is a dedicated person who serves in 10 different areas, but more blessed are 10 different people who ought to serve in one area exceptionally. God has brought forth an exciting new ministry at Pathways Baptist Church, and sitting right here among us, including us, are the persons that God has also gifted to have his church do what it needs to do. Isn't it time to realize that the same Holy Spirit that gifted the early Christians, the early disciples, Matthew, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Matthias, Paul, is the same Holy Spirit that has gifted you and me for right now? The Holy Spirit within us is given to bless us inwardly and to bless us to serve Christ and his church outwardly, and to outwardly bless and serve the church in the love of Christ. We need people to do that with their lives. Together as the body of Christ, God will use our united gifts to make a difference. We are here. we are called to serve this area. There's a movie I enjoyed seeing a few years back, and I kind of went on and actually got some of the words from it. You ever see Mr. Holland's Opus? If you appreciate high school type movies and band directors and choir directors, choral directors in high schools and what they go through, you'll appreciate that movie. It's definitely worth a see. Mr. Holland is a music teacher, and at the end of it, he basically is very frustrated, feels defeated. There's a symphony he tried to write, he never got done. The music program had been cut so many times, and he was just tired and worn out. It was time to leave. The last scene shows him, his wife and his son, walking him out. He's packed his box, and he's walking down the hall, and they hear in the auditorium some noise. He says, "What's going on in there?" And they start saying, "Well, maybe." He says, No, I don't know if anything's been scheduled. What's going on?" So they walk in, and the whole place, the whole gymnasium, the whole hall is filled with people on a big standard saying, "Thank you, Mr. Holland." And they usher him up front, and he looks out there, and he sees men, women, and children of all ages, some students he had taught for 20, 25, 30 years before that, all there to celebrate what he had done. And one gal who came in last minute is actually the governor of the state. He had taught her to play the clarinet. And she said these words, "Mr. Holland had a profound influence on my life, on a lot of lives, I know. And yet I get the feeling that he considers a great part of his own life misspent. Rumor had it he was always working on a symphony. This is going to make him famous, rich, probably both. Well, Mr. Holland isn't rich, and he isn't famous, at least not outside of our little town. So it might be easy for him to think himself a failure, and he would be wrong. Because I think he's achieved a success far beyond riches and fame. Look around you. There's not a life in this room that you have not touched, Mr. Holland. And each one of us is a better person because of you. We are your symphony, Mr. Holland. We are the melodies and the notes of your symphony, and we are the music of your life." Look around. God has put you here and called you and gifted you to pour your spiritual gifts and your life into these children, these youth, these adults, these senior saints, into these people. And look outside these windows. Think of the hundreds of thousands of people around us. Think of we're only a few miles from the nation's capital. Think about the people we're going to invite to the block party that are sitting there not even knowing that they're going to be invited. Think about all that out there, all the different, did you know Gaithersburg is the most diverse community in the United States of America? Yes. What an opportunity. And we are, these people that we have around us and these people that God has placed us in the middle of all around us, this is supposed to be our symphony. And you have a major part in that. You need to come and bring your peace in. Bring your gifts in. Bring your service in. That job you have, you'll retire someday. The house you have, it's a nice house. Take care of it. Someday it'll be dust. The car you drive, you're probably buying another one. It's going to wear out. But as the saying goes, only what's done for Christ will last. Look around you. If you have encouraged one of these children, if you have encouraged one of these youth, if you encouraged another adult around you, they're part of your symphony. They're part of your music, of your life. But above all, it's not about us, is it? We really do our part in this symphony to bless the God who did so much for us. It's really a symphony for Him, isn't it? Not for our own glorification, not for our own contribution. It's all about Him. Please say this: I've got the Spirit. I've got the blessing inward. I got the gifts to be outward. I will serve. Let us pray. Father, as we've come together today, we just ask you to continue to challenge us and change us, to serve you as parts of a great symphony, to glorify your name, and to reach people here and outside of these doors like never before. And help us to do it to glorify you, and let it be beautiful to you as well as the ears of all around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.